Karamcast.
Welcome to the Karamcast, episode 3. It's as hot as hell in Los Angeles on this Monday night, and I do not have my guest Amy with me, but I do have an exclusive interview with two friends from Galveston, Texas, who survived the Ike hurricane and are here to talk to us about what it's like there now and what's being done in the aftermath. This week, Paul Newman, philanthropist, avid car racer, and 7-time Oscar nominee and 1-time Oscar winner, passed away to lung cancer. Paul Newman was not only admittedly an extremely handsome and charismatic man, but founded the company Newman's Own, which is a line of food products, in 1982. He began by selling salad dressing and then included pasta sauce and lemonade, popcorn, salsa, wine, and all sorts of other things, and donated all post-tax proceeds to charity, raising, by this point, $220 million. He was an extraordinary man, and I'm very sad about the loss. I want to read a quick poem from a book of poetry by Czesław Miłosz called A Book of Luminous Things that came to mind when I spoke to our friends in Texas. The poem is by Charles Simic, and it's called Empire of Dreams. On the first page of my dream book, it's always evening in an occupied country, hour before the curfew, a small provincial city, the houses all dark, the storefronts gutted. I am on a street corner where I shouldn't be. Alone and coatless, I have gone out to look for a black dog who answers to my whistle. I have a kind of Halloween mask, which I am afraid to put on. I'm going to move on to the interview with our friends Tommy Wonker and Crystal Parsley in Galveston, Texas. And I hope that it sheds some insight that the news doesn't provide on what the situation is over there. Living in California, you think about earthquakes and you think about, you know, tidal floods and all sorts of things, what it would be like when everybody makes a rush on the grocery stores or on the hardware supply centers, and how people respond in those situations. I mean, do they all cut in front of each other in the line, or is there a sort of a natural order that comes to it?
It is mad, especially when you go to Home Depot or Lowe's or Sears, people trying to get all the generators and all the wood. It's insane. And then afterwards, Sears isn't taking back any generators.
And then they're also, you have to only have a certain amount of items. You can't go over that. You must be there for only the specific reasons, or they'll kick you out of the store.
The thing that a lot of people don't perhaps think about at first is that we think of the large-scale damage and the expenses in terms of houses and facilities that are destroyed, but really, the smaller things are the things that add up, I would imagine. It's things like the groceries that go bad in the fridge, and just the stuff like that that you'd buying, like you said, a generator and supplies, and then they're sitting around the house after the fact.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you guys talk to me about some of those things that people wouldn't realize from the outside?
Well, we didn't realize, like, our power would go out, so we didn't really worry about the food, because when Alicia hit us back in 83, none of the power went out. So this time it was a real big shock to us. So we lost everything in our fridge, and we're having to do the barbecue outside and put your food in the cooler every day trying to find food. And they didn't want to supply anybody with it. It was only in, like, the big spots that were hit, like Galveston or, like, the Baytown areas where they set up these little pods where you're supposed to get ice and water and food. But for us, since we're in the county, they didn't want to set up anything for us. So we're out here trying to scavenge for the food and everything. It was ridiculous.
Tommy?
It was pretty much like living back in the 1800s, only you have Home Depot and stuff like that. But more crowded, and it's pretty much like a big madhouse. And when power's cut out, of course it gets hot down here like it does in California. But only in California it gets cold at night, not down here. Down here it's hot constantly.
Now, where was the National Guard during all this?
Flying around in helicopters and stuff like that. Like, Coast Guard and all them, they were all flying around, and the Marines finally landed in Galveston using the naval ships to get there with, to clean up and get the electricity back on and get people back in their homes if they did have homes left over.
What about beforehand? Were they not there to direct people? Or I guess what it is, somebody who's never been in a hurricane or a tornado, or a hurricane especially, because it's such a widespread event, it's hard to understand exactly what the government is doing in situations like this. What would I do if suddenly there was widespread panic here in California? What would be the things that I would most need to know?
Definitely, you would need to, you know, get one of those portable TVs and watch the news. And the only problem about that is they're not setting up a head chief. Everybody is their own chief. So the news people are the ones that are making us in panic because they don't know what they're really doing. So
yeah,
we're trying to sit here and survive, and they're telling us, okay, the Coast Guards are going to come rescue you. Not many people were rescued. A lot of people had to get stranded in Galveston. They were stuck. And around here, all they were doing is taking surveys. Nobody was really in charge, so you pretty much have to fend for yourself. Even though you're listening and trying to obey what they're telling you to do, there's no real help. And that's the sad part.
That's more than sad. It's a little alarming. Is there an authority there that prevents you from doing what you would essentially need to do, in the sense that are there police around that are watching you, making sure you don't get crazy? Or is it really that you got to figure it out for yourself?
Well, they told the cops to go back to the department and just take calls. Nobody was out here for any rescue. See, where we live, there's a lot of critical people. And nobody was out here trying to, you know, assess, make sure we were okay, like our sewers backed up and everything. There was no authorities out here protecting us. So everybody was really in that house. Kids were starting to throw things at the vehicle. People were going crazy in the neighborhood, just wondering what's going to happen. Are we left stranded or what?
Why are kids throwing things at the vehicles? What's that response?
I guess it's because they were out of school for the whole week, and they were just going crazy. And the parents didn't know what to do because they were going crazy.
So the hurricane was on, what, the 15th?
Yes.
And so, and how long did you guys, and what did you do when it touched down? Were you out of town or were you in town?
We tried to leave, but the roads were so backed up, and we just had to turn around and come back home and just face, you know, just sit here and watch it come through. And it was, I hate to say it was amazing, but you saw all these green lights flashing in the skies because of the transformers, and you're just hearing all these amazing different noises from the winds hitting against your house and the trees. Just, it was different. It really was different. If Stephen King could have written it, it would have been perfect. It was like one of his novels. I mean, that's how scary it was.
Did you ever see the eye of this hurricane, or were you always just on the outsides of it getting beaten down?
So Tommy was asleep, so my mom and I were staying up, and you actually heard that silence and that green look all across the sky and everything. It was just calm. It really was calm. And then all of a sudden, it just picked back up, and you knew you were out of it. It's kind of amazing. I hate saying that because it's a hurricane, but it really was.
Death is amazing. Life is amazing. Everything is an extraordinary event in its own way. So I don't think you're going to hurt anybody's feelings by saying that.
Now, if somebody says something, since I'm from Northwest Kansas and I know more about tornadoes and stuff like that, a tornado is nothing like a hurricane. Tornadoes are completely different. Tornadoes come and they go. It'll seem like minutes or sometimes hours, but it's really not that long. It's really only a couple seconds and it's gone. Unlike a hurricane where it stays for hours, and it seems like days that's here. It's really not. When a tornado sweeps through, no matter what, it takes out everything it's path. Unlike a hurricane where it brings water and a bunch of other debris and whatever else it wants to bring with it. It knocks down power lines, everything else. Now, I've seen tornadoes knock out whole towns and everything else. But hurricane isn't really too much like a tornado, I'd say. It's more like a tornado stays in the sky and with a lot more damage, a lot wider spread, the whole works.
I appreciate you sharing that first-person account. I'm really not trying to find scapegoats or people to point fingers at. I mean, a natural disaster is a natural disaster. I'm just curious, however, what the government is doing. I mean, they've got their hands tied up in all kinds of things right now with this financial crisis that the country's going through and these elections. I'm sure that President Bush is not spending too much of his energy worrying himself about the election. However, there's, you know, a war going on, and so what happens to good American people when something like this happens? I mean, is there enough manpower and woman power to come in and help?
I honestly don't think so, because originally President Bush declared us as a disaster state, and like with Katrina, as you're saying, you know, they were in there right away to help. And with us, you know, we were promised the FEMA and all the help, and they've taken that back. So we don't get the FEMA. We don't get any of the government assistance helps. So we're kind of stuck just rebuilding our lives on our own.
Why is there no FEMA there?
I hate to say it, but because of how Katrina happened and the way that the money was dispensed and used, I guess they're not offering it anymore to all these disasters.
Well, the reason why is because most people, they took the money and abused it, went and bought vehicles and stuff like that, so they're going back, fixing up their houses like they were supposed to do, or buy another house or condo here. They want to use it for money, for junk, pretty much junk. That's why I take it back, because they're afraid us Texans are going to do the same thing as the Louisianas did, and the ones from Mississippi as well.
What was the money supposed to be used for, if not to rebuild a life and a house?
Right.
I'm just wondering, like, what are the other things that, you know, I can't imagine myself for 3 weeks dislocated and not being able to get food. I mean, are the grocery stores supplied over there?
Yeah, but they raised the prices because of the hurricane.
Oh, so there's a lot of price jacking going on.
Right.
Yes, with that and gas, they've just jacked up everything. And with the whole, how are you supposed to rebuild your life? They want you to go back and relocate, but the problem is that there are places that you can't go back to and relocate to, you know, and rebuild your homes or, you know, start your life there. So you're having to make a new life somewhere else, and I guess the government doesn't want you to do that. You have to go back to where you once lived in order to receive the money.
Now, I'm going to get on a bit of a hot topic here, but I read an article just recently that looked at a different side of the story, which is that a lot of the people that are going to be available to help do the rebuilding, a lot of that support is going to come from unregistered immigrant workers. Now, that creates an interesting, it's sort of an irony, isn't it, that with all the immigration border laws that they're talking about implementing, all of a sudden there's sort of a need for that extra labor force. And that's where it's coming from. How do you guys feel about that?
If they want to come and help, more power to them. We need it. Galveston once was a very beautiful place to go to. Granted, the water wasn't, you know, the prettiest, but it was a place you wanted to go just to enjoy a weekend. And if they want to come and rebuild it to make it how it once was, they got my support.
We're going to Mardi Gras party.
So, and what about insurance? Have you guys talked to any insurance companies?
None of the insurances will pay for, like, fence repair or trees that have fallen into cars or homes. So they're being really sticklers about what they're going to pay for. But they do have this insurance company that's offering help now, so I'm going to be checking into that to see exactly what their guidelines are as far as the help is concerned.
Is this more of a Red Cross kind of thing, or...
I really don't know. They've been broadcasting it over the commercials this week, and it seems like some local law firm has just taken it into their own hands to help out, you know, all the people that insurance companies aren't willing to pay for. So I think it's great. I mean,
yeah, that's a little glimmer of light in all of it.
The only thing that the Red Cross has asked, of course, is, you know, please give blood donations, because all of our blood banks have been demolished. They can't use that blood anymore. So I think some help that they're going to give is to mainly like Galveston people, which they do need the help. They really do. And it saddens me because there are all these local news stations that are going down there and going into people's homes saying, you know, oh, look at all these frames that were destroyed. Look at these walls that are just demolished. They don't need to be broadcasting people's homes, that, you know, especially if they're looking on the TV. You don't want to see what happened. You know, to me, they're making fun of it.
Hmm. And how many people are without homes right now?
I looked on the internet and they said it's like over 1 million people right now. And that includes Galveston, all like the Pearland, Pasadena areas, all that.
And where are all these people right now?
Up in Austin or Dallas.
San Antonio, places like that.
And they're staying in, what are they, staying in gymnasiums or where are they? Are they have host families that are taking them in or?
Some of the local hotels are giving help for them. Also, like, all the high schools have been closed down for them, so they're staying there or at YMCAs. And we actually tried getting into the hotels because that's the only thing that FEMA was offering was you can go stay in a hotel for free. But they were all booked for the CenterPoint people, which is our power company, or all the local government. So nobody around here could get it unless you traveled 200-300 miles. But at least those who evacuated are safe. In good places.
What's a day like for you now? What happens from when you guys get up in the morning and what's the sort of procedure?
Usually you get up and clean.
Yeah.
Go to work. Do what you can, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to make sure my dad's okay since he's an amputee. You know, the power really took a hit on him because he needs that AC and everything, so he's trying to rebuild himself, and I'm just watching out for him to make sure that he's not going to go in the hospital because he's looking like he's going to, so I really don't want him to. So my focus is on him and just cleaning up around here as much as I can, and with Tommy and my mom working, you know, getting somebody around here clean. We need to rebuild this place.
Where are the best organizations to make donations or support?
The American Red Cross.
Yeah, you've seen them be actually very effective, or?
I think they're more effective than FEMA is. They're definitely on their ball. And there's, like, local churches that I have to get names for that are taking donations. And the local Channel 2 news station here is also taking donations for everybody.
And I believe also the Salvation Army is, too.
Yeah, you guys let me know if there's any organizations that are local there, and I can put up links on the podcast site. There's so much corruption that happens and so much mismanagement that I know people really do want to help, and sometimes it's nothing more than a click away, but there's that wariness about where is your money really going and how is it really being used. You know, you don't want to be investing in making T-shirts for support Galveston. You want it to be going right into the street and actually having some result.
That's very true.
Let's imagine that we were more used to this kind of thing and had a better system in place. What would be different?
Well, you definitely have more supplies. You buy them ahead of time. You buy MREs, which are meals ready to eat, military food. But you have a shelf life of 5 years. All you got to do is add water, cook it up, and that's it. You bottled water. You use flashlights. Everything you could find to use, you use it.
And definitely buy a generator. It might just sit in your garage collecting dust, but it saves. We had a neighbor that blessed us with letting us run off his generator just so we can have a fan in the house. And if you find a sale that you can get a good generator for, get it and just store it away.
What does a decent generator run?
About $300 to $500 right now. Of course, they jacked up the price.
Actually, no. Nowadays, it's about up to $800 some places.
Wow.
And Sears right now, I do know of, they run from about $450 to $800.
And that's just for a basic generator.
That's a basic generator.
But I will say they last a long time. 5 gallons lasted 12 hours for the generator we used. So they're worth the money, definitely. Especially when something like this happens. You want something good.
Unbelievable.
The only thing I could say is, you know, when it happens, keep your head up. And, you know, just make sure that what you think would be something stupid to get, like, you know, an extra set of batteries or whatever, get it. Just supply yourself. And
put it away, like, in a box or something like that.
As far as like mentally, you really can't prepare for it, but just know that, you know, if you know what's coming, try and stay calm, because craziness isn't going to help. Listening to the news reporters and all these, you know, governors and everything that want to take the lead, I wouldn't say not listen to them, but if you have a second thought on what they're trying to tell you, believe your gut, because they're not going to always tell you the truth.
Yeah, I hear that.
And now we have a curfew from, what time is the curfew?
8 a.m. to 10 p.m. And if you're caught on the streets, it's a $500 fine.
No matter if they have electricity in that area or not, they don't care.
So you can't...
So it is really like a Stephen King movie all mixed into one, you could say.
Right, you can't be driving over to your girlfriend's house to watch the new episode of Survivor after 10 o'clock.
No. And if you're coming home from work, you better have some proof that you're at work. They're being really strict on that.
I imagine that's to prevent the looting and whatever else could happen, or is there another reason for it?
A lot of the downed trees that they've still yet to pick up, and at night you can't see them, so they're trying to prevent also a lot of car accidents.
So you guys don't have street lamps on?
We do, but I guess in some of the areas where the trees have fallen and knocked them down, they haven't replaced them yet. On the way to work, the stoplights are still flashing, so...
Houston's one of the laziest cities in the United States. Mm. They've been building a freeway. I don't remember which one. I think it's 59 or 610, one of the two, since 1947, and they're still working on those days at the same spot. That's how lazy the city is.
Mm. And that maintains its reputation in a time like this, or it doesn't change?
I think Houston's reputation has gone down since this happened. A lot of people aren't happy, and I've seen just this past 2 weeks since our power got turned back on, there's a lot of for sale signs. So I think people are wanting to get out of here because of the way that they handled everything.
Do you mean local government or the actual people that live in Houston or all of it? Or
the local government.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that are wanting to change mayors, you know, get the one who was running out of office. And, like, where we live, our acting mayor is a judge. So there's a lot of people who want to take his spot because of what they didn't do. And, unfortunately, they are the good old boys. So they think, well, if we can survive, you can survive. And not a lot of people are happy about that.
And what about the president? Being from the state, does that mean anything at all in a case like this? Or I can understand that he can't go, you know, to greater lengths than he would in any other situation, but have you felt any connection between his coming from there and the crisis management?
Let's put this budget. If I could say something on here, I'm not going to, though. But
the only thing I can appreciate that he did, he came here for 3 hours and he left. And so I can appreciate that he actually came here, but he hasn't really told anybody, you know, hey, get off your butt and do your job. You know, these people are without homes and everything, and nobody's cracking the whip on anybody. And you would think that he would, but nothing's been done.
So yeah. We need to get somebody in there to get something done.
Do you think either Senator McCain or Obama would be any different?
Oh, yeah. Either one of them would be great.
They both have really good points of view on how, you know, how they're selling themselves. So I hope whatever they're saying that they're going to do, they do. Because we definitely need a change. And it's not just here in Texas. The whole entire United States needs a change.
I have to say that with this election, I actually feel like we have two legitimate candidates. These are people who are legitimately interesting possibilities and not just the lesser of two evils. There's no question that when you become the president of the United States, you will sort of fall in step with what has to be done. I mean, you can't just come out of nowhere with a different plan. You have to deal with what's already going on. It's a very, very complicated position. You can only hope that the person that comes in is not just a talker, that they are a proactive person, that they would implement even, you know, 10% of what they talk about and stick with it.
Yeah, both of them do have different opinions on certain things, but I think when it comes down to it, whoever's picked will really do us some justice and make a lot of changes. It'll be good.
Guys, I really appreciate your time.
I think Chris will enjoy talking to you.
And that's how the interview went down. This week on MusicZeitgeist.com, indie rock critic Truffle Jones will be pounding the pavement to bring you a 10-show series of concert reviews as the fall season kicks in. There's an embarrassment of riches here in Los Angeles, and one of our listeners wrote in and asked that we cover what's new and happening in indie music. Well, it's always there at MusicZeitgeist.com, so check it out for Truffle Jones reviews of the indie music scene. If you like this podcast, make sure to check us out on iTunes and subscribe. Also visit the website KaramCast.com. If you feel like slipping a quarter into the donation jar, it will be going directly to the funding of this show so that we can keep it coming. Also, if you're interested in hearing music by your host, you can visit KaramSongs.com. Thanks for listening, and keep those letters coming in. We're always happy to hear from you. Just email us at info@karamcast.com. Have a good one.